Hello, and thank you for listening to the podcast of the Vineyard Church Maryville here in Maryville, Tennessee. If you haven't already, you can visit our website to find out more information about our church or to find our full audio archive with all of our messages. So you can find all of that at www.vineyardchurch.us, or you can also subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts. Now, let's hear this week's message.
Well, it's so good to be here with you guys today and to worship with you today. I get to preach what we call a standalone sermon. So it means we're in between sermon series, and it has been a lot of heavy sermon series. And so I get to just sort of do a spiritual check-in and like see how you're all doing, you know, like how are you? How are you? It's been a lot. I think a lot of you would probably respond with like, well, I'm here. And like, that's a real victory these days. You know, like I'm just trying to take a temperature of the room and see where everyone's at. And I think a lot of us are just like, man, I'm here. And that's a win because things are just harder than they used to be. Right? I know if you're like me, you've decided many times over that you're just going to like keep on keeping on and you're going to live your best life and we're just going to keep going and but no matter how many times you try to do that, the fact is that there's just like something in the air, right? That you just can't ignore. It's just what we've been through the last several years, right? From a pandemic, you know, that's been polarizing. Politics that have been polarizing. A pandemic that's also been polarizing. And it just doesn't really seem to go away. Even though good news, I think like the curve's going down again. I mean, we're just like desperate for good news, right? And I just think in a lot of ways, if I'm just trying to put words to like what we're thinking and feeling and stuff, I just feel like things are still just weird and they still feel weighty, you know, like it's just been kind of a disorienting few years. I mean, that's why I've seen people mark on Facebook, like jokingly, but not so jokingly, they've marked themselves safe, you know, like from whatever the heck the last 2 years have been. And I think it's funny because we can relate, you know, as if we've really survived something just to be here. And we have, you know, and I think only some of us right now wouldn't go so far as to, you know, want to mark ourselves safe yet. Like maybe we would mark ourselves like safe for now, you know, but we'll see. Like the jury's still out. So in a lot of ways, I just feel like we feel like the world is just sort of spinning out of control, and we've all just been along for the ride, right? Like we've been stuck on this ride. So have any of you ever felt that way before, like on a real ride? Have you ever felt that way? Like you were stuck on a ride and you were desperate to get off of it? So this has happened to me several times. I don't know why. I don't remember. I'm getting older and they're not as fun for me anymore. And it's just like, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Like you're stuck on that ride until it's over. The worst part was one time when I was with my son and he's stuck on this ride and he's desperate for it to stop. And he's like, Mom, make it stop. You know, and I'm like, I can't. Like there's literally nothing I can do. You know, I kind of look over to the booth, you know, and with eyes of like, please help me. And there's this kid running it, pushing the buttons, drinking his Dr. Pepper. Like he doesn't care, you know, he doesn't care about me, or he doesn't know the difference between the screams of, you know, fun and the screams of absolute horror. You know, he barely even checked my seatbelt to see if it, like, there's like, he doesn't care. There's nothing that can be done. And so all you can do is hold on for dear life and pray it will all be over soon. And I think that's how a lot of us have felt this last couple years. Like this world is just spinning out of control and all we can do is hold on for dear life and pray that it will all be over soon, which is not a great way to live, right? So the good news is that I get to share with you some good news today. And that's the fact that God has something so much better for us than that. And that God is so much better than that. God is not some uncaring kid running this ride, not paying any attention to you or your cries for help. He is very much the opposite of that. God is our good shepherd who actually invites us off the crazy train and leads us beside still waters, even in the midst of a world that is going crazy. And guys, that's really good news today. And I think it's just something that we all needed to be reminded of today. I know I needed to be reminded of that today. And so we're going to read Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 36. This is Jesus here. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. All right, so we're going to start by just looking at the first part of this section, verse 36. When it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And in the book of Mark, this story is similar, and it teaches us that Jesus saw this crowd, this sheep without a shepherd, and he stopped everything. He had other plans, but he changed his plans. He stopped everything so he could just go and be with those people, so he could sit with them, so he could teach them, so he could love on them, so he could go and be their shepherd. And guys, I believe that Jesus is looking at many of us today in this crowd, and that he is moved with compassion for us as well. Not because we are sheep without a shepherd, but because we are acting like we are sheep without a shepherd. And so I think he wants to remind us this morning something that most of us already know, but something that all of us have a tendency to forget. And that's the fact that no matter what our circumstances, we are not alone. We have a shepherd, a good shepherd, who is there for us, who is taking care of us. And so when Jesus saw the crowd that day, he defined those people as being helpless and confused, like sheep without a shepherd, he said. And guys, when I look out into the world, that's what I see too. But that's not who we are. And so as followers of Christ, we need to remember who we are and whose we are. And when we do that, we will stop then feeling so helpless and confused, you know? We will stop, you know, the unhealthy patterns that some of us just sort of slide into of thinking and feeling and living and believing like we are sheep without a shepherd. And that is really, really important for like our health and for the health of the world. So in Psalm 23, which is like one of the most famous psalms there is, we know that David took the time to stop and reflect on the Lord being our shepherd. And that made a huge difference for him and for the world. Because by meditating on that truth, that the Lord is our shepherd, that not only got him through a lot of hard times, but it's gotten through a lot of us through a lot of hard times as well. And so we're going to learn from that. We're going to take David's cue. And in the midst of a world that is chaotic and still feels uncertain, we're going to learn that it is important for us to stop and to meditate on the truth that the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus said it plainly in John 10:11. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Later in verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And so Jesus makes it very clear that he is the shepherd and that we are his sheep. And so we're going to lean into this today. We're going to lean into this because this is a really common way that God describes our relationship with him. Like all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament, this is like over and over again, we find that we can learn a lot from sheep because like it or not, we are very similar to sheep in a lot of ways. So for example, did you know that sheep without a shepherd have no sense of direction? They have no sense of direction, like at all. They don't know which way is up. They have this tendency to just constantly walk in circles. They never really know where they are or where they're going. They get lost and confused very easily. And to me, like, this is just a really good description of my husband. No, I'm just kidding. He's gotten lost a few times, but this is a really good description of the world around us who is like lost all the time. And it's because, like sheep without a shepherd, they have no sense of direction. And the reason they have no sense of direction is because they have no true north. And guys, without a true north, there is no way to navigate this world. There is no standard by which to measure everything else to. There is no focal point into which you can orient yourself and everything else to. And so as followers of Christ, we are different because we do have a true north. Jesus is our true north. He said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I've heard it said a lot that Jesus is a lot like a compass. I've heard it's like we really would prefer him to be more like a GPS at times. Like we want to turn our brains off and just like listen to the robot and like do what it says. Like the voice of the robot's calming, just tell me left or right. Like we want it to be that easy. But a lot of times Jesus is more like a compass. And the way a compass works is that the needle on a compass is like always pointing north because it is drawn to the north. It literally has a magnetic attraction towards the North Pole. And so the needle on the compass is always pointing north, just like Jesus is always pointing us to the Father. And the thing is that I believe that we were all created to feel and to follow that magnetic pull towards Jesus and to the Father at all times. We were created to do that. But like it says in Isaiah 53:6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. And because of that, because we've all turned our own way and we've all decided to ignore this pull towards God, towards the Father, towards truth, and just make everything up as we go, it's caused the whole world to be like completely directionally challenged. Like, nobody knows which way is up. It's disorienting on so many levels. I mean, any pilot or captain of a ship would tell you that trying to navigate this world without their instruments would be a total nightmare. It's completely disorienting. But guys, as Christians, we have repented from going our own ways, right? We have turned back to God, which means that we don't have to feel so disoriented. It means that in a world that is spinning out of control, we don't have to get dizzy. We don't have to feel all turned around because we do have a true north. And no matter how crazy this world gets, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we are going to be okay. Now, I don't know how I know this because I took ballet for exactly 1 year. I was 4 years old, so it must have been incredibly formative. But I know that, like, when you dance and you're doing the spinnings and the turnings and all the stuff, like, everyone tells you that you're supposed to keep your focus on one point on the wall. Like, you have a focal point, right? And that's how you don't fall over, and that's how you don't get dizzy, and that's how you keep your bearings. Well, guys, the same is true for us. Like in a world that is spinning, the way we keep our bearings, the way we keep from being helpless and confused is we keep our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith." Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things." And so it's true. It's true that sheep without a shepherd have no sense of direction. But I want to remind you that we do. We do. We have Jesus. And if we will focus on him and we will follow him, everything is going to be okay. We are walking in the right direction. All right, which leads us to fun fact number two about sheep. Fun fact number two. Sheep without a shepherd are prone to wandering off their path. They're just prone to wander. They are. Like they wander off from their shepherd and away from their flock. And every time they do it, they're always putting themselves in danger, but they still do it. And they do it for all kinds of reasons. And I think it's funny because I think we can see ourselves in this too, right? They wander off when they get scared. Sheep have like incredible instinct for flight, you know, like the fight, flight or whatever, freeze instinct. They are like big flight people. So you get spooked and they are gone. Like they get scared. They just start running in a wrong direction and they get very, very lost. They wander off when they just get curious. They're just like, oh, what's over here? Let's go over here. They wander off when they just stop paying attention to where they're going. I can relate. They also wander off because they have a tendency to follow other sheep who are wandering off. So like true story, in eastern Turkey, about 1,500 sheep wandered away from their shepherds, and then all 1,500 of them followed each other right off a cliff. Right off a cliff. like a huge cliff. They fell into a huge ravine. 400 of them actually died. They walked off this cliff, followed each other off the cliff, fell to their death. The other 1,100, they still fell off the cliff. They just didn't die. And so now we know that cotton really is that soft, right? It's good for us, right? But I guess what happened is what they're saying is that the sheep in front just kept going their own way, making it up as they go. This looks good. Well, the sheep in the back, they can't see what's ahead of them. They're just following. But what happens is eventually they're actually not just following, they're pushing. They're actually pushing these sheep. So by the time the sheep in the head, in the front can say, oh, there's danger ahead, they actually can't stop because the sheep in the back are like just pushing them right off the cliff. Which is just incredible to me. And also, there is something to be said for the 1,500th sheep that did see all of that happen and did still. It's just, they just follow each other right off a cliff. And guys, it's so sad. It's so sad, but again, like, can't you see how this describes the world around us? People are wandering away from the truth. And it's causing them to make stuff up as they go, take whatever path looks good at the time. And then others are just blindly following them and even starting to like push them and give momentum to whatever crazy idea they have. And in the end, it's to like everyone's demise. I mean, honestly, it's really hard to watch. It's hard to watch. I mean, it's hard to watch people veer from God and veer from the truth and veer from the word, knowing where that path leads and knowing that they can take others right off the cliff with them. And I've seen this over and over again. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. Guys, it's no secret that we live in a world of fake news and false teaching and conspiracy theories. And it's like every day someone is yelling squirrel and we're all just falling for it. Like we're just chasing one random thought or one random idea or one random theory after another. And it's crazy making. And this is why Paul wrote this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. He says, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Doesn't that just sound so like good and so true? You guys, God warned us from the very beginning. He warned us that this world will reject the truth and we'll start teaching things that might sound good, but just aren't true. And that these false teachings will tempt us to wander away from God and wander away from the truth. And therefore, God said that we always need to be on guard against that. And so my question is, are you? Are we? Are we on guard against this? He's telling us, he's warning us. He's like, this will tempt you. The things that sound so great to your, you know, itching ears, like it will tempt you. And so how can we be on guard against the false teachings of the world, against wandering off and following whatever theory somebody wants us to follow? Guys, it is really, really important that we know why we believe what we believe. It's really important that we know, like, know what the Word of God says, know why we believe that it's true. That's how we guard against wandering off the path that God gave us. That's how we do it. I know for me, I have to remind myself of this all of the time, like on a regular basis. Whenever I have doubts, whenever I have fears, whenever I feel like false teachings are like creeping into my mind, I literally have to give myself like an elevator pitch over and over again to remind myself why I know that Jesus is my true north, that why I know this Bible really is the Word of God. And so I'm going to let you in on my process. It's a simple process, but it's my process. And I can say it easily and freely because this is exactly my process. Every time I am feeling that way, I remind myself of how all of creation points to a creator. Over and over again, I just remind myself. I look out, I'm quiet, I'm still, and then I remind myself of things I've learned about the eye. Fascinating. Things about music, incredible. Things about just anything my eyes can see. All of creation points to a creator. Then I remind myself of everything I know about the Bible and how it came to be. And about how every modern day discovery keeps pointing to the accuracy of the scriptures that we have. Right? I call this like my apologetics, not Anna's apologetics. Like, okay, there's like Ratio Christi and then there's like Sharon's mind. This works for me. Okay. Lastly, I remind myself of how the Bible proves itself to be true. Over and over again, I'm amazed at how the Bible proves itself to be true by the countless and specific and oddly detailed and extremely accurate Old Testament prophecies that all came to be in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Stuff that was predicted hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus arrived on the scene, and it all pans out. It's been said that Jesus fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies, over 300. And just to give you a glimpse, here are just eight, okay? Here's just eight. I'm telling you, I go through this in my mind. This is not just like I'm preaching you a sermon. Here's eight of them. He was born in Bethlehem. He was to be preceded by a messenger. He was to enter Jerusalem riding a donkey. He was to be betrayed by a friend who ate with him. He was to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. You guys, this one gets me, okay? Like, his enemies are the ones who, like, Judas decided to betray Jesus, and his enemies gave him 30 pieces of silver to do that. They're not trying to fulfill prophecies. They hate Jesus, but they're falling in line with all the prophecies. Then it says the money was to be thrown into God's house and used for a potter's field. What happened is Judas felt bad. Judas gave the money back. He literally threw them into the house. The chief priests were like, we can't take this money. This is blood money. And they buy a potter's field instead. All of this was predicted hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened. The Messiah was to stand silent before his accusers. The Messiah was to die by crucifixion. Incredibly accurate prophecies. And I'm like, the Bible proves itself to be true. Peter Stoner, in his classic book, Science Speaks, he actually calculated the odds of any one man fulfilling just eight of these prophecies. Remember, he fulfilled like 300, but here's just the odds of one man fulfilling eight. Even down to the present time, it says it would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That is a 1 with 17 zeros, right? Those are good odds. I'm taking those odds. To help us visually comprehend this is something I learned before I went to college. I think about it all the time. Thanks to Stoner, he gave us a visual. He said, listen, if you picture the state of Texas, all right, if you picture the state of Texas, and if you were to spread out silver dollars, that many silver dollars, all throughout the state of Texas, it would stack 2 feet deep. He said, then if you would put an X on one of those silver dollars, mix them all up across the state, take some guy, blindfold him, have him wander around the state of Texas, and then one day reach down and pick up a coin. He said the odds of that guy picking up that coin with that X, he said that is the odds of one man to fulfill just eight of these prophecies. Guys, it's incredible. The evidence is there. Will we always need to have faith? Yes, but God does not expect us or ask us to have blind faith. We are called to have a faith that is rooted in truth, grounded in facts, and can stand the test of time and investigation. And that's why we can trust that the Bible is not just another book, it's not just the opinion of men, it is the inspired word of God. And so that's my elevator pitch. There it is. That's the pep talk I give myself. Every single time I am tempted to wander, or I start to like look over here or look over there or look away from the word, that's how I guard myself every time. from wandering off. I remind myself of everything I know that is true about God and His Word. And then when I do that, I stop feeling so like anxious and so helpless and confused, like, oh, I don't know. And I don't know what's right. I don't know what's true. And that's when I stop acting like a sheep without a shepherd. And so instead of being like tempted to wander off and go my own way, with a very clear mind and a very grateful heart, I choose to stay with my shepherd. I choose to follow Jesus. And I choose to live within the boundaries of Scripture that He gave us. And in so doing, you guys, I can't even explain to you the peace that comes from knowing that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And so one, even though sheep without a shepherd are directionally challenged and therefore lost and disoriented and confused and all the things, we don't have to be, because we have a true north. We have Jesus who we can fix our eyes on, orient ourselves to, and follow Him forever. And then number two, even though sheep without a shepherd have a tendency to wander off from their path, we don't have to, because we can trust that the Bible is the Word of God and therefore choose to live within its boundaries. Does that make sense? All right. That makes sense? We're good? All right. Number three, the last one. Number three, our final fun fact about sheep. And again, I'm so thankful that this one doesn't have to be true of us either, because the truth is sheep without a shepherd are extremely vulnerable. They're just extremely vulnerable. They just are. They were not made to take care of themselves. They can't groom themselves. They can't heal themselves. All other animals can like lick their wounds and heal themselves. Apparently sheep can't. I don't know. They're just so helpless. Like when they go off on their own and into the wild, they become very easy prey. And there's like an Old Testament scripture about how we also become very easy prey when we go off on our own. Sheep are almost completely defenseless. Like, so much so, and I swear, I just want to keep Google checking this, because I'm like, is this true? But apparently when sheep fall over, like, they can't even pick themselves up. I don't know if that's true. I still am doubting if that is a true fact or not, but that's how helpless they are. They're very vulnerable. They're vulnerable to attack, to sickness, to the elements of life. And guys, this is how I think we have felt over the past couple years. We have felt incredibly vulnerable. And nobody wants to feel vulnerable. We hate feeling vulnerable. But I think we have felt defenseless in a lot of ways. Like defenseless against like COVID and politics and cancel culture. Even defenseless to our own thoughts and feelings and doubts and all that stuff. It's just, that's just a scary way to live. It's uncomfortable. But the truth is, you guys, the good news is that we don't have to feel that way. Because once again, that is not who we are. We are not alone. We are not helpless. We are not defenseless. Like, we do not have to just fend for ourselves out here. We are not just like sitting ducks in the middle of the open field. We have a good shepherd. A good shepherd who does all the things that good shepherds do, which is like provide for us and gather us up and protect us and love on us and shield us. We are not as helpless as we think we are. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And like Aaron was saying a couple weeks ago, like this is a song. Like this, my kids learned this song in preschool, and it was adorable. And now at 40-something years old, I'm like, I need this. This is like the motto of my life. Like I'm grateful for the preschool song because it speaks that much to my heart. Guys, we were created by a loving God who wants to take care of us and who is more than able to take care of us. And we just need to stop and remember that and to know that and reflect on that. And I think when we do that, that's when we will finally be able to breathe. We will finally be able to take our finger off the panic button, and we will stop cycling through our fight, flight, and freeze instincts. And we will stop being so exhausted because of all the ways that we are just trying to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. I mean, think about it. Have you ever seen a sheep carry a heavy load? No. It's because they weren't meant to carry heavy loads. The shepherd always carries the load, and when necessary, the shepherd carries the sheep too. You guys, that's why God is always telling us, Old Testament, New Testament, cast your worries on me, cast your burdens on me, cast your anxieties on me. I've got this. You weren't made to carry this heavy load. I was made to carry the heavy load. And when necessary, I will carry you too. Guys, he has got this. He's got this. And so my hope for us today is that we will continue to reflect on what it means that we are not sheep without a shepherd. And I hope that we will start to recognize every time we start acting like it, or thinking like it, or living like it, because we all do it. I did it this week while writing the sermon. I'm like having thoughts that I'm out here all alone just doing whatever. And it's like, that's not true. And so I hope that we will recognize that. And then we will find ourselves like saying, no, that is not the truth. And I'm not going to continue down that path of thinking and down that path of feeling, that path that leads to confusion and helplessness. Instead, I'm going to find my true north, right? I'm going to get my bearings. I'm going to find my true north. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. Instead, I'm going to choose to stay on this path and live within the boundaries of Scripture. I'm going to choose to be in the Word. And then I'm going to run to the Good Shepherd. I'm going to run into his arms, and I'm going to let him take care of me like he was meant to take care of me. And so I hope that is something that we can start doing. We're going to reflect on him being a good shepherd. We're going to reflect on him being, you know, our Lord and our Savior. And we're going to remember how good he really is so that we can take a deep breath. Psalm 23, I'm just going to read it because how can you not? Let's all just take a deep breath. It's kind of like an early Selah. Emily, you can actually come on up. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so as we go into our time of Selah, I want us to absolutely reflect on that, but I want us to end with where we started. I think there's one really important aspect of this that we need to look at. We're going to read Matthew 9, 36 and 38 again. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This is important. Verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. And so today, I'm hoping that number one, you will remember that you have a good shepherd. And I hope that you will lean into that. And I hope that you will experience all the goodness and all the joy that is found in that. You guys, that's what it means to walk with Jesus. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. But then number two, I hope you will see that we have a mission too. That this world is full of people who are actually sheep without shepherds. They are people who really don't know Jesus. And when Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them, and then he turned to his disciples. He's turning to us and saying, guys, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And so our job as disciples is to stop acting like sheep without a shepherd so that we can start ministering to the sheep who don't have a shepherd. So we can do what Jesus did, which is to see them and have compassion on them and then stop whatever we're doing so that we can go love on them and serve them and help them and point them to Jesus. That's what it means to love your neighbor. And so it all comes back to those two things. walk with Jesus and love your neighbor. And of course, this message was like an uber, like I'm talking to Christian type message. But if you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know that I have a shepherd. I don't know that I know Jesus. I have been lost and confused, and maybe I haven't had a true north. I just want to invite you to come up. We're going to have people up here ready to pray. We would love to introduce you and lead you to the shepherd this morning. And so let's pray as we have some Selah time. Jesus, thank you so much for reminding us this morning of what a great blessing it is to have you as our good shepherd. Thank you that in the middle of a spinning and chaotic world, thank you that you give us our bearings, that you are our true north, that you are our steadying hand, that you lead us beside still waters. Help us to reflect on that now and throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. Every time we find ourselves acting or thinking like that, Lord, change it. Change our hearts. And then, God, I pray that you would help us to see the lost and the hurting and the confused, and help us to have compassion on them. Help us to run to them. Love them, point them to you, God. Lord, help us to walk with you and love our neighbor. I know we can't give what we don't have. So God, I pray that you would make us yours and then be able to give that truth, that good news away. In Jesus' name, amen.